The president.
He's the president and CEO of your Arizona Diamondbacks.
Hail to the chief.
Derek Hall.
The president.
On Now with Doug and Wolf.
The president and the CEO of the Arizona Diamondbacks is Mr. Derek Hall. And this is the end of the season for the Arizona Diamondbacks last week.
Yeah.
And then our last conversation until, you know, we get into Newsmakers Week or other things that are going on. And Mr. Derek Hall is calling in right now, so you can tell that I'm stalling and wondering what him and Maloney are talking about.
Yeah, we're actually hunting him down right now based on earnings. I promise you, we will have Derek Hall. He'll be ready to go.
No, he's here.
Oh, we have him now.
It was just, I was questioning, like, Maloney, what are you talking about?
Right.
We're waiting.
Having a chat.
As the president and CEO has just called into the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Good morning, Mr. President. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How about you?
Doing well.
Good. All right.
I want to start off with, you know, when the rest of us in the world have no idea what it's ever going to be like to be a Ken Kendrick, to be a Derek Hall, to be a Jerry Clayton, you know, to be ownership in a city. But when one owner passes, you know, what are the thoughts of Ken Kendrick? What are the thoughts of you and what Bill Bidwell meant to the community?
Yeah, I mean that was tough news to get. I mean we're all in this together, and what Mr. Bidwell did bringing the team here was great, obviously for not only all of us that are football fans in the state of Arizona, but for all sports fans. And I really set the tone and laid the groundwork for us. And I could tell you, Ken right away had reached out to me and asked if I had heard the news, which I did, and we decided we were going to do something, you know, for the organization. But yeah, I mean we're all brothers and we're feeling this. And I haven't reached out to Michael yet. I want to let things settle a little bit because I know he's hearing from everybody.
You know what, Derek, could you go ahead and process the season for us, right? I mean, this is going to be the last time we'll talk to you for a while. Just go ahead and riff a little bit on the season and your thoughts of 2019.
Well, I'm still, you know, it's so new, as you know. I'm still very happy with the way you finish anytime you're 8 games over .500, but I don't think it was enough, because I think we had opportunities to get to the postseason. Watching these games, as you guys know, are always tough. I think we should be there. I think we had the chance to be there. I think we have the talent to be there, but we had a lot of injuries. I'm really glad that we overcame those injuries. And we had a lot of young players that came up, Wolf, this year that we got to see play, and I think it was important for them to cut their teeth and get the experience, especially down the stretch in a very competitive season, with that opportunity and then coming back next year. I do like the fact that we have a great deal of depth. We're going to have some tremendous competition in spring training, and I think it's going to be a really fun offseason because we're going to have a little flexibility now to be able to add to the roster and take a new approach. I mean, we're going to look for some offense. We're going to look for bullpen arms, as always. We're going to get some guys back that are healthy. And I think it was certainly exciting at the end of the year to see guys that have been out of action for, you know, a year or most of the season come back and get back out there on the mound.
So when you say flexibility, of course, and I really perked up. Are you thinking
financial? Yeah.
Yeah. Are you thinking of, obviously you're referring to Zach Greinke's money off the books. So are you thinking of a piece here, a piece here, a piece here? Or are you thinking of, I don't know, some American League team might have a designated hitter who decides to opt out of his contract and come back to Arizona where he belongs?
You know, we don't talk about those individuals.
No, but I
would say any and all of the above. The beauty is, as we talked about last week, you know, we're going to get together here within the next week, all of us, along with Ken and myself and Mike and Amiel and JP and Tori and Mike Fitzgerald, the whole group will get together, and we're going to start to map out what it looks like. And some of the options would be, you know, spend it, not all of it, but spend it on a free agent or a few free agents. Other options are trades, multiple pieces. I think it's good just to have that flexibility. I mean, we did free up a lot of payroll this past season so that we could get creative. And I think when you have a few needs and a few holes to fill, you want to have that. So, I mean, Doug, I think there's different ways we can go, and I like that we have that ability this offseason versus you know, having very few options and limitations going into the spring. This year, we don't have that at all.
Did you have a dread on going into last offseason? I mean, it take us back a year, knowing that the Goldie situation was looming,
yeah,
right? The Greinke situation was out there, of course, right? The farm needed to be. Did you have a dread on going into last offseason?
Well, I don't think we had any intention of moving Greinke, you know, and during the trade deadline, it became so clear that we could really get some nice pieces back, assets back in return, that it made the most sense to do it and then create that flexibility we just referred to. But for me, I think the biggest regret, and really for everybody here, was that we knew what we had to do with Goldie. Again, how special he is, you know, to us and to this organization, to our history. He's part of the family, but I think it's good for him. He's in a wonderful place. Of course, his series starts tonight. We're going to be rooting for him. But in addition to that, we were able to get back so much, and it leads to a pretty bright future with those guys that we got in return. But that was the biggest regret or dread, you know, going into the season, I think. And there was a lot of uncertainty, too. We had a lot of new faces. We didn't know how they were going to fit in. We didn't know how they were going to produce. And we were always worried about health, which became an issue right away. I mean, before you even throw the first pitch, for Souza to have gotten hurt here at Chase Field in that exhibition game, that was it was troubling. It reminds you of what happened to Pollock in the past, and you think, oh, boy, is it going to be one of those seasons? And it really wasn't. I mean, there were times we all talked, and we were frustrated because we didn't perform as well as we thought we should against teams that we should beat. Going into the season, again, what did we predict? What do we think? We thought we were going to be about a 500 team. We were all year, and if we had just taken care of business against those teams that we should have beaten, we could have been in a much better position. However, you know, you have to go through that, and I also think instead of putting our heads in the sand or giving up, we kept fighting back, and you rattle off, you know, the win streaks like we did, and we finally went on that run. We made it interesting, that's for sure. But, Wolf, I don't think that there was too much fear or concern going into spring training once that roster was set. Mm-hmm. I think we thought we were going to be better than the experts thought. And again, I remember one of the first talks that we all had when you guys were at Salt River, it's because of the confidence that we have in Torrey, you know, and it's the confidence that he has in his coaching staff and the sprinkle of veterans. You've got to have veterans come in and balance out a lineup or a roster, which we're going to have to do this offseason as well again, too.
President, CEO, Derek Hall, the Diamondbacks joining Doug and Wolf. You know, you mentioned very, very soon you're going to be beginning the offseason meetings, and you mentioned Mike Hazen and, you know, and the entire baseball staff in the room. If you don't mind, take us through those meetings, and I know you're not going to say we're going to decide this, but more about the full, like, what do you need when you go into the meetings? What comes out of the meetings? What do you settle on in the first stage of these meetings? Is it a ranking of all free agents? Do you already say that guy's going to be too expensive, he's out? Is it the assessment of trade? I mean, how do you go through, I would say, like, the first week of meetings?
Yeah, it's all the above again, but it's really a it's making sure that we are all on the same page, that we have a clear picture of what our assessment is of the organization. You evaluate the season you just went through. You look at the entire landscape of the organization, not just the major league roster, but your minor league roster, the talent, the depth. You look at the free agent market. You look at possible trades. You look at tenders, non-tenders. It's everything. It's now a new philosophy, you know, when you're going to expand the rosters. It's what you want to do around the trade deadline. It's what do we think is best for the future of the game so Ken and I can go back and report that on an industry level. It's really everything and anything, and it's a good, you know, start for us to really start planning. But that first meeting, for example, could take 6 to 10 hours. And, you know, it never gets old, it never gets stale, and it's best to do as soon as you have that final out so that everything is fresh on your mind, and it never stops, as you know. I mean, you get going for 2020 right now. I mean, it's not as if you take 3 months off, 4 months off. It's right now. But, Doug, you know, to answer your question again, you have to have a complete understanding and all be on the same page on who you truly are, looking in the mirror, where your holes are, what you're going to do. You're establishing your budget. You're establishing, you know, any sort of freedom or flexibility that you can give yourself around the trade deadline if things are going well, which we certainly hope and anticipate they would be. And you know, it's always tough discussion, but you're going to talk about trade possibilities with other teams. And when I say it's a tough discussion, because you're looking not only at your roster, but you're also looking at some of the prospects or talent you have down below if you're going to find a match.
I wouldn't mind a calendar invite for that.
It is fun. I got to tell you, it's great. It's a blast.
You know what, D, thank you so much for your time, man, as
always. Of course,
and
guys,
your candor all year long. We really appreciate it.
No, always here for you guys. You know that. And it's a sad day for the Bidwills and for everybody here. I'm glad you asked me that to begin. And so we are grieving with them as well. And good luck to the Cardinals this weekend against the Bengals.